You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Super Bowl 55 is almost here. That's Patrick Mahomes. That's Tom Brady. Brett Favre had something to say about Deshaun Watson. We'll talk about that. But listen, HBCU, it's in the house. My alma mater, Winston-Salem State University, is in the house. The crew is as well. First take. You know what time it is. Let's go. Oh, Hill.
Appreciate you, and look at all this talent. Stephen A., your alma mater, I could see you out there in the corner doing the two-step during the pep rally.
Just the two-step. I wouldn't go any further than that, Molly Wood.
Right?
I wouldn't go any further than that. I'd leave that up to them.
No kidding. A lot of flavor. I'm here for all of it. So as Stephen A. mentioned, good morning, everybody. Welcome into First Take. Stephen A., Max, I'm Molly. We are honoring HBCUs all month long, each Wednesday. And today, Stephen A., your alma mater, which I know means so much to you, Winston-Salem State. So what does it mean that we're doing this here on First Take on your show?
Well, especially, we would have been in attendance on the campus of Winston-Salem State University had it not been for COVID, obviously. All three of us would have been there. Can't thank the both of you, along with everybody here at First Take, for supporting HBCUs the way that we have. I certainly couldn't do it without y'all, so I thank y'all from the bottom of my heart. But my alma mater means everything to me. CE Gaines, you saw those letters on the basketball court. I got my boy Justin Ross. He's a member of the basketball team. He's wearing jersey number 20. He's sitting in the gym right now. He's a member of the reigning CIAA champion, Winston-Salem State University Rams basketball team. They're just special to me. They've always been special to me. They'll always will be special to me because Coach Gaines made sure that me and my crew of boys that are still my lifelong buddies, they're my brothers forever. I just got a lot of love for the university. It's my alma mater. I'm incredibly proud to be from there, and it's a beautiful thing to start off, our tributes to HBCUs with my alma mater. I'm very, very honored. And let me thank the bosses upstairs, the Dave Roberts, the Norby Williamsons, the Jimmy Pitaros of the world. Couldn't happen without their okay as well, so I'm incredibly grateful. Thank you to everybody.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. And we're going to be checking in periodically throughout the show, so we will enjoy it. And we'll also get into the scholarship in your name as well. So it's going to be a great week as we honor HBCUs during Black History Month. But, fellas, we are going to pick things up in the association, the Brooklyn Nets. We need to talk about what happened last night. So let's do this. They took down the team ESPN has now deemed number one in our player rankings. That would be the Clippers. A quality win, Kyrie dropping 39. Katie and Harden both dropping 20-plus. Let's hear from them right now.
I think we made the right plays down the stretch, especially Kyrie and James controlling the ball. And, I felt like, when those guys got it out top, they got the defense at their mercy.
It's not about points for me. It's not about stats for me. It's about getting a win. And I think since I've been here, I've tried to do whatever it takes in order for us to have a win. And that's all that matters.
Stephen A., could that Nets team win the championship? The Nets team we saw last night.
Oh, yeah. They could win the championship. They play like that. First of all, let's give props where props is due. Kyrie Irving was a showstopper. He was absolutely positively sensational. He put on the show. He was box office the way we know he can be. Box office. The efficiency of Kevin Durant. The man had 28 points on 13 shots. Hit 11 of his 13 shots, okay? This is Kevin Durant and, of course, James Harden putting in a triple-double with 23, 14 and 11. It was just special to see, no question about it. And to see the Nets go up and then Brooklyn to run off 13 straight, led by Kyrie coming off the bench, dropping two threes and another bucket, Kevin Durant putting in a couple of threes, James Harden hitting a three as well. They were just abusing Nicholas Batum. I mean, everybody that he was guarding in the fourth quarter seemed to be able to score. But the offensive firepower that the Brooklyn Nets have, again, their defense doesn't need to be horrid. It doesn't need to be god-awful. But this team can give up 120 points a night and still win because we see that they can outscore anybody on the planet. They are the number one offense in basketball. Last night was a display as to why that is. And in order to beat them, you're going to have to be able to stop them. And I don't know anybody that can look at those three dudes, that big three in Brooklyn, and say definitively, we can stop them. Of course, the Lakers should be the favorites, but it's by a hair simply because of the offensive juggernaut that they are. They don't have to change a damn thing to get to the finals. They are coasting. They're coming out of the East. They're going to the NBA Finals. In order to win it, if last night, you're asking me, play like that and they could win? Yes. As constructed, playing offense like that, they can win the championship. I don't know if they'd be able to against the Lakers offensively, but they could win a championship without making a move if they can play offense like that every night.
They cannot win the championship unless they make a move. The roster as currently constructed can't win it all this year. Let me start by saying they, since the Harden trade, have been the best offense ever in the history of the NBA since the Harden trade. And it's not hard to believe when you have three guys who can all get their own shot at elite historical levels and hit the shots from anywhere on the floor, the free throw line, anywhere. Three-point range doesn't matter. And then none of those three are even the best shooter on the team because you got Joe Harris on the same squad, right? And you have a guy like Jeff Green who, when you play him as a four, really, they're playing him at the five because they just don't have a five, really, who can play big minutes. He's much better than when he was a wing player earlier in his career. Their offense is ridiculous, and Kyrie Irving put on a show. Kyrie Irving puts on the best show in basketball, period, any level. Best show that anyone puts on in the game is Kyrie Irving, and he did his thing last night. But, guys, what was that thing? Let's be honest right now. They're playing a Clippers team six games into a road trip that was playing their fifth game in seven nights. So this is not like a refreshed, normal kind of Clippers team you're going to face. And not only that, but with the Nets playing like that, with Kyrie playing like that, with James Harden, that heads-up full-court pass that put them up, with the Nets playing like that, Paul George had an open look at three to tie the game. Like, the Nets got a little lucky. Paul George missed that shot. Just to win that game last night. I'm never questioning the Nets offense. And I got more news for you. The Nets offense is going to get better. By the playoffs, it's going to be better than this. They're going to be more used to playing together. But Stephen A., they're not going to get to the finals, let alone win it, with the worst defense ever. And right now, they're on pace to have the worst defense ever since the Harden trade. The defensive possession is not over until you secure the board. You got to secure that ball. And they're not getting defensive rebounds at the very least. They got to bring someone in who can do that by the deadline.
There's so much to teach you about the game of basketball, Max Kellerman. Let me tell you something right now. When you sit up there and you talk about the Clippers and their five games and seven nights, Max Kellerman, do you see the Clippers in the first game of a long road trip being able to stop that offense? Of course you don't. Nobody's stopping that offense. What I'm saying is that if you're looking at the Clippers and you want to bring up missed shots, that comes with the territory. But I get where you're coming from in all seriousness. But offensively, in terms of the Brooklyn Nets, what you see is what you get. What they did last night, they can do against anybody, anytime they want to, number one. Number two, here's the thing, a little nugget of information, and I know you saw this, but I'm going to remind you anyway. It's not just a handshake after the game. It's the deferential treatment Kevin Durant provided. Kyrie took 23 shots. Kevin Durant took 13. didn't seem to mind at all. James Harden is shooting considerably less than he was shooting in Houston. Didn't seem to mind at all. Doesn't seem to mind at all. The level of unselfishness, faith, and togetherness those three are showing with one another is something that I think we can't ignore. Because I'm looking at Kyrie and I'm looking at James Harden and I'm saying, excuse me, you got to know to get the ball to KD when all is said and done, because this brother is just on that level. But the flip side is, if he doesn't mind and they don't mind, and neither, no, all three of them don't care about who's getting off, and that selflessness is something that we continue to see as the season progresses, then the leadership that we're expecting from a Kevin Durant is something that he will be providing. And as a result, that is what's another going thing to make them even more potent as far as I'm concerned, which is why I have no question that they're coming out of the Eastern Conference.
I do. By the way, I am picking them to get to the finals because I do think they'll make a move. And more to Kevin Durant's leadership, he's also, if you notice, taking on the toughest perimeter defensive assignment night in and night
out. That's true.
He's still not what he was defensively before he got hurt, but he's accepting that assignment night in and night out. You can't say enough about Kevin Durant's leadership so far this season. I'm not questioning that. And if it was a one-and-done tournament, then, yeah, the Nets could win the whole thing like this. Because I agree, any one game, they could just turn on the Jets, and what are you going to do? They can hit shots from it. They're going to have the best offense ever. Stephen A., they're not going to do that to the Lakers 4 out of 7 games. They're not. They barely were able to do it to the Clippers at home, a tired Clippers team.
But you're now saying they need a move to get to the finals.
When Kawhi and Paul George,
aren't you saying they need a move to get to the finals?
Yes. Yes, I am.
And I'm
when,
saying they
when
don't.
Kawhi and,
I'm saying
and,
they don't.
And PG, right. When Kawhi and PG are on or are trying to lock down your best offensive players, right? Mm-hmm. So they're on KD and James Harden. The insane thing about the Nets is, who's on Kyrie? I mean, it's just ridiculous. Stephen A., you know it as well as I do. You ain't going to get to the finals even playing the worst defense of all time. That ain't going to happen.
This team will get to
bring someone in.
This team will get to the finals.
I don't see who on the roster is going to do the dirty work on defense.
This team will get to the finals, Molly, without making one single move. They will get to the finals. There is no one in the East that's stopping them from going to the finals as long as they stay healthy. I don't care if they don't make a move.
Let me wrap it up by this. The Nets' 7-2 record against winning teams is the best in the NBA. And, fellas, speaking of winning, it is Super Bowl week, so I think we need to talk a little NFL. How about those Chiefs? That's where we go next. They will be without the 2013 first overall pick, tackle Eric Fisher. They also have one offensive lineman who may not be available due to COVID protocols. The good news is Patrick Mahomes and Sammy Watkins are feeling good. Max, considering these injuries on Kansas City, do you think that they should be the favorites?
No. No, the Kansas City Chiefs, given everything we know, should be the underdogs. The Bucs should be the favorites. And I'm taking the Chiefs because I have that kind of faith in Patrick Mahomes. And I don't think enough people understand that that's why they're also taking the Chiefs. Travis Kelce is great. Tyreek Hill is great. That's not why we're taking the Chiefs. Replace Mahomes with any other quarterback in the game, including Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, or anything. They'd be the underdogs. We just think, Mahomes is going to get it done. Guys, think about this for a second. The Bucs need to get pressure with four, right? Like, we all know that because Tyreek Hill burnt them so bad in single coverage the first time they met. They're going to have to bracket Tyreek Hill. And, of course, you got to keep your eye on Travis Kelce. Resources have to be there, sent their way. The Chiefs are missing. They're not going to have for the game. Both offensive tackles, both who are both Pro Bowl caliber offensive tackles. And now their backup centers in COVID protocol may not get to play. You know what that means? Andy Reid said what the offensive line is going to do in practice this week. All five guys on the offensive line are going to practice at all five positions. They are without their best players on the line, and they are thin on the line. They're all going to have to practice at all five positions. And what are they going up against, guys? A Bucs team that is surging and getting healthy at just the right time. By the way, Vita Vea, that big defensive tackle, the nose tackle, remember he got hurt in the Bears game and his season was over, right? It's not over. Season's not over. He's playing. And that dude can collapse your pocket. He can get a push in the middle. And then guys like JPP and Shaquille Barrett, those guys are coming to get you. The line of scrimmage. On the other side, the Bucks are totally healthy. Marpet, remember a month or two ago, he had missed some games. He's back. Donovan Smith's back. Everyone's on the line and play and balling for the Bucks right now. And their line had a very, very good season. So the Bucks should dominate the line of scrimmage. And Brady has weapons everywhere you look, and his secondary's playing lights out. Guys, I picked the Chiefs, and all everyone who's picking the Chiefs is doing it for one reason. They have Patrick Mahomes. But they should be the underdogs here.
You can talk about that all you want to. I don't think they should be the underdogs because you keep talking about Patrick Mahomes. That ain't what I've been talking about. Everybody saying everybody's been talking about it is because of Patrick Mahomes. To me, it's because of Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. It's because of Tyreek Hill the last time he went up against this team. I will remind this audience, he had 207 yards, 7 receptions, and 2 touchdowns in the first quarter. He backpedaled in the end zone on one touchdown catch. He backflipped on another, toying with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He has 135 receptions on the season. Travis Kelce has 1,416 yards receiving on 145 receptions. They run the football when they want to because they can throw against anybody, and they're looking to throw first. And when I think about Tampa Bay and Tampa Bay with Todd Bowles and his blitz package, because we know he wants to blitz all day, every day, one slight problem. Patrick Mahomes, 17 touchdowns, 0 interceptions against blitzes this year. I mean, this is unbelievable. And so when I look at it from that perspective, and here's where this is the biggest thing, and nobody has brought this up. We've watched Kansas City in the postseason, okay? We've watched them perform. You know what? Going up against Josh Allen, he's not a scrub. He can ball. He was an MVP candidate. Plus, he has wheels on him, too. What happened? They were able to neutralize him. Tom Brady is elite. I get that. And he's going to get the ball out of his hands inside of 2 seconds. I get that, too. But when I look at him right now, when I look at Tom Brady, here's what I think about. He's a stationary target. And as a stationary target, you're talking about these boys, the Chris Jones of the world and others, being able to get at him. You're talking about a brilliant football savant in your secondary at the safety spot with the honey badger, Tyrann Mathieu. I'm just looking at it from that perspective. And even though I think it's entirely possible for Tampa Bay to win this game, they certainly should not be the favorites because of the things that I just mentioned. No way on earth. The team is the favorite here.
Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce are amazing players. Mike Evans and Godwin, Antonio Brown, Scotty Miller, nothing to sneeze at. Tom Brady has crazy weapons at receiver everywhere he looks. He has several excellent and trusted tight ends. He has an offensive line that not only blocks for him well, but blocks for the run. In fact, when you talk about the best offensive lines in the NFL this past season, not on paper what we were expecting, but how they actually performed, the Bucs were elite. And they have name brand running backs who can still play. They have a very competent running game when they choose to use it. In other words, they have every single thing on offense. On defense, all three levels are playing great. And Stephen A., we're hanging our hats on me, Patrick
Mahomes.
Make
up your mind, Max.
You on his two best weapons.
Huh? Make up your mind, Max. Make up your mind. You can't sit up there, oh, the defense is playing great, but in the same breath talking about Patrick Mahomes being otherworldly and being something entirely different. Yeah. We don't give a – hold on. We don't give a damn what Tampa Bay has done against anybody else other than Patrick Mahomes because we saw what happened when they went against Patrick Mahomes. I'm just saying.
Max, I already know what you're talking about.
That's why they shouldn't be
the favorite. That's my point. Hold on. Time out.
What?
That's my point.
What is it?
My point is if you put Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson, anyone else on this Chiefs team, they'd be the underdogs. Even with the two premium weapons, based on everything I just went through.
But because of Patrick Mahomes,
they're not. Because it's Mahomes, people are like, well, they're supposed to win.
Stephen A., don't you see what he's doing? Don't you see exactly what Max is doing? Max is picking the Chiefs, and he's setting it up so he has the excuses in case he's wrong. So
he's hedging his bets.
This is all Max's agenda. Hey, now,
Molly,
I'm betting on Brady, and I'm owning it, Max.
Who should be favored in the Super Bowl?
Max, we heard you. We heard you.
Molly, who should be favored in this Super Bowl since you want a debate?
No, I don't want to debate. Yeah. I just see what you're doing. I see
Max,
that.
Hold on, Molly.
You should be favored.
Hold on, Molly. Max, I got this beautiful quilt here because if you want cover, you know, it's a beautiful quilt you should use instead of hedging your damn bets all the time. That's number one.
Hey, number two, hold on, Max.
Antonio Brown is coming off an injury. Chris Godwin has been dropping passes, so we got to take that into consideration as well. Not only are we talking about Hill and Kelsey, we can't forget Mecole Hardman. We can't forget Williams. We can't forget the play calling of Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy. We can't forget
Brown
those things.
Brown is coming off an injury.
I know that.
Mahomes' offensive tackles are going into injuries.
All right.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5X miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Get it? I need the same intensity through the entire show. Stephen A., your alma mater, is talented. The SU Rams marching band welcoming us back. Meanwhile, Texans star quarterback Deshaun Watson formally requested a trade last week. Meanwhile, here's what Hall of Fame quarterback Brett Favre had to say about it to Yahoo Sports. Quote, "You get paid a ton of money to do a certain job and just do it and let the chips fall where they may. I think we make too much money to voice an opinion, but I'm not saying he's wrong. Again, I think it's a different day and time, and it'll be interesting to see how the organization handles it." Stephen A., you're up first. Are you surprised by these comments from Brett?
I must admit, I'm kind of stunned, and maybe I should not be. Maybe I shouldn't be, but I pretty much am. I think, where did Brett Favre go to college? I think it was Mississippi, Southern Mississippi, if I remember correctly. I mean, when folks think about certain things, you think about certain parts of the country, and you know, I'm not trying to speak out of turn here because it doesn't matter where you are. You know, you're your own individual and your own character. But when you hear comments like that, it rubs you the wrong way. And I'm certainly not trying to imply that Brett Favre meant anything racial. I'm not implying that at all. I understand that what he was saying about Deshaun Watson, he would say about anybody playing that position, anybody making money, et cetera, et cetera. So maybe I shouldn't have brought up Southern Mississippi at all. But what I will say is that it rubbed me the wrong way because, you know, basically you're saying you signed a contract, you're getting money, shut up and play. That's not too far removed from Laura Ingraham saying, you know, shut up and dribble. That's not too far from people who have the mentality that you are an athlete, and so entertain us on the court or the field of play, and don't bother expressing your thoughts, your feelings, your opinions about anything else. Now, in defense of Brett Favre, what I will say is that I don't think he meant anything malicious, and I also think what he said is something he would say applies to him as well. But I do think it's important to recognize the times that we're living in, number one. The things that have been highlighted and illuminated, particularly in the last year and specifically in the aftermath of the George Floyd killing. The fact that you see an inordinate amount of black folks, particularly black athletes, that have taken the position and felt the need to speak out and to address issues that are pertinent to the very community, the disenfranchised communities from which we came from, and things of that nature. You know, to know all of that and to see what has transpired over the last year and to say something along those lines about Deshaun Watson, you think he makes too much money to voice an opinion? I mean, that's pretty damn close to insane as far as I'm concerned. For something like that to come out of Brett Favre's mouth in this particular day and age. Again, I'm not accusing him of being malicious in any way, Max. But I will say this. I think that thought process is a bit ass backwards. And I think that Brett Favre's come across as looking a bit ass backwards to say something like that in this day and age, particularly considering what we've just witnessed in our nation transpire over the last few months. There are people that have brought up and made comparisons to the civil rights era because of the things that we saw going on throughout the streets of America over the last year. How Brett Favre can say something like this to me is mind-boggling.
I was not surprised by it. First of all, Brett Favre said, I think we make too much money to voice an opinion.
Yes, he did.
So he's including himself with Deshaun Watson. In other words, players. And there's always been an element, even among the workforce, even among the people who self-identify, as working class, that don't and that are in fact based on socioeconomic standing, that believe that labor, should stay in its place, and that especially if you're being paid well. Oh my God, Mr. So and So gave me this enormous check, And once upon a time, Stephen A., not just like along racial lines, Shut Up and Dribble, which always had those kind of undertones. But once upon a time, Joe DiMaggio was reviled and other white players in baseball were reviled because they would hold out for more money. And the press, by and large, and who do you think owns the, major media outlets, the moneyed interests, right? And the press reflected their sentiments and sometimes maybe their own sentiments about staying in their own place. Who are they to hold out? They're making $100,000 to play a child's game. Well, let me ask Brett Favre something. Are the owners making too much money to voice an opinion? Because they're making a lot more than the players. Let's not act as though players rolled out of bed one day and hit the lottery. They got lucky. No. Were they born with physical genetic advantages? Undoubtedly. But not everyone who was born taller or faster or stronger picks the NFL. They've put a lifetime of work, dedication, passion to become one of the best in the world in one of the most competitive industries in the world, where almost everyone who can play is playing. And they are, and someone like Deshaun Watson has elevated himself to where he's so important that he has some leverage, but he shouldn't be quiet. He's making too much to voice an opinion. Are the owners making too much? The owners have leveraged their businesses and relationships for a seat at the table of power. The players, because they're not as powerful, because they don't start out as rich, have leveraged their union to collectively bargain for a seat at the table. And the superstar players also leverage their incredible importance to their teams to have more power than just another player and to be able to voice their opinions. And we've seen it in the NBA and now increasingly in the NFL to even demand or at least steer trades and kind of put their hands on their future and control their destiny more than in the past. Stephen A., I'm unsurprised that some elements come out. Apparently Favre thought of himself as the hired help and say and echo this sentiment that we've seen throughout American sports history. You're the hired help. Kurt Flood, what are you agitating for? You're making so much more money than you would in a regular
Oscar
job.
Robertson.
Just be happy with it. Wait a minute. Right, right, same thing. Wait a minute. Why should I accept the people who pay me have made their fortunes on the free market, but now they want to stop the free market forces from me getting paid what I'm worth? No. And those people, the Curt Floods, have been vilified throughout American sports history, oftentimes by players who are in their same position. Stephen A., again, I think we make too much money to voice an opinion. Favre's including himself.
He is including himself, which is what I pointed out with my initial diatribe. But what I would say to you is that what he revealed is that he's a bigger part of the problem that exists in professional sports, because we assume on a lot of occasions, not you and I, but I'm talking generically speaking, as a society, we assume that the players are on one side and management, owners, executives are on another. But you do have people on the labor side, you do have people on this side that essentially think like the folks upstairs want them to think. And what I'm saying is that's not always a bad thing. Please don't get me wrong. I'm about winning. If you're about winning, okay, and we're about the bottom line, I have no problem with you aligning yourself with folks upstairs, because the objective and the agenda is the same as it pertains to the bottom line. But when it involves something like this, players are getting paid too much money to voice an opinion. Mm-hmm. When you say something like that, that goes beyond that. That's not about labor. That's not about CBAs. That's not about anything. That's about a mentality of thinking of yourself and others as sheer labor who should be grateful for what they have, as opposed to being appreciated for what they have earned. And I'm very, very disturbed that Brett Favre would say what he said, not just about everybody else, like you said, himself as well. And I'm not attaching any kind of racial connotation to Brett Favre by saying that in terms of his intent. I'm simply saying that as a black man, to hear you say that, knowing the times that we're living in right now, is incredibly alarming that something like that will come out of Brett Favre's mouth.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's lectricebikes.com. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Ooh, as the Super Bowl approaches, we now welcome in friend of the show, Panthers star running back. That the is man. Christian McCaffrey. Speaking of talent earlier, this man has plenty of it. Christian, yes, friend of the show, thank you so much for being with us. Right? And obviously you're joining us on behalf of Ascent Protein. We'll get to that in just a bit. I'm a fan of protein shakes, so hopefully you got a new good recipe for me. But I want to start with Super Bowl picks. So Max said earlier in the show he's going with the Chiefs. I've said the Bucks. Stephen A. hasn't disclosed yet. I'm sure he will later in the week. Who are you picking and why?
Well, I hope they both lose as a player watching the game. But you know, it's tough to root for a team in my division, obviously. So I got to go with the Chiefs.
Christian, it's always good to see you. You know how I feel about you, my brother. I think you're a star, and you know, I'm so happy for you and what you've been able to do in your career. You struggled this season. I want to know how your health is. I think you had an ankle sprain. You had a quad injury. You suffered a shoulder injury, for crying out loud. How are you feeling right now? And what are you looking forward to for next season? Because I'm looking at Matt Rhule. I kind of like what I've seen from this man in his first year at the helm. Your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, obviously this was an unexpected year for me. You know, like a lot of people around the country and the world in general. You know, there was a lot of unexpected injuries for me, and something that is rare. You know, I've never missed a game, and you know, having to sit out and watch from a distance was really tough. You know, you kind of feel like you're not a part of the team when it first happens, but. You know, quickly I had to change and address that and find positives out of it. And I learned so much about myself, about my teammates, and got to watch the team from the outside looking in and, you know, get better at different things like you know, leadership skills. Got to get better when it came to understanding, you know, the flow of the game, in-game changes and situational football. And so for me, I think, you know, I'm going to take this year and get better from it. And, you know, like you said, watching Coach Rhule in his first year and watching the, you know, development of such a young team was exciting. You know, we do have such a young team, and without OTAs, with a new staff, with new players left and right, I only saw improvement as the year went on. So, you know, injury wise, you know, when it rains, it pours sometimes, and it's just the way it goes. But I know that I'm going to learn from it and get a lot better from it. So, I'm already, you know, I already got the bug. I'm already hungry for next year, and you know, excited to get back with the guys.
Christian, you're a guy who can do it all and then some. Not only run the ball, obviously, out of the backfield, catch passes is what I'm trying to say in English, with the best of them. You can block now, like you can run between the tackles, whatever you want to do at the position, and then some. You can do. When I look at this Super Bowl, I look at one player based on the injuries to the Chiefs, how they're going to need help blocking on the line, how there's going to be a lot of attention on Tyreek Hill. I look at Travis Kelce as a guy who's going to have to do a lot for this team. Who do you think is the key offensive player who's not a quarterback in this Super Bowl?
You know, I actually I'd agree with you. I think both tight end positions you know, when you have such talented weapons on the outside and you have really good backs, they're normally the focus. And sometimes the tight ends get, you know, when you have a good one, you know, I think they're the difference makers, because they're able to open up the field. You know, they might be put in a lot of one-on-one matchups if guys on the outside are being doubled. And, they can be a great outlet if you do bring a lot of pressure in. You know, those guys are so big, and when they're big and fast, and you know, you might have a nickel on you, even if they're covered, they're not covered. You know, they're able to make those big plays when it counts, you know, on third down in the red zone a lot of times. So, you know, I'm very anxious to see the tight end play.
Christian, I want to ask you about your quarterback situation, because both your GM recently and your coach would not commit to Teddy Bridgewater. We've also heard rumors they could be potentially interested in Deshaun Watson. What was your reaction to all of that?
You know, that's, I don't think it's my job, you know, to get into all that stuff. I'm thankful I don't have to make decisions like that, you know, and I get to just focus on becoming a running back and being the best player I can be for my teammates. You know, I'll say, you know, from experience, I've experienced so much change in my career. And, you know, when you start to focus on that stuff, it leads towards kind of a downward spiral. And so for me, all I can do is be a leader to my teammates and work on myself and showing up for them so that, you know, they can rely on me when my name is called.
Christian, let me go back to the football field, to the Super Bowl, rather. When I think about Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, what he's accomplished has been absolutely phenomenal. We all know that. But when I think about this particular game, one of the things that I'm focusing on that I don't think enough people are focusing on is that although he gets rid of the ball relatively quickly, the fact that he's a relatively stationary quarterback as opposed to somebody like Patrick Mahomes, who we know can fling the football, but he can run with the football as well. How much of a factor, if at all, do you expect that to be in Super Bowl 55?
Yeah, you know, you brought up a good point. I think one of the things that makes Mahomes so special is his ability to extend plays. You know, when you have a defense like the Bucs defense, you know, I know firsthand that they cause a lot of issues in the pass rush, and they got two of the best backers in the league. So being able to, you know, extend plays, find guys that, you know, unplanned, and you know, I kind of, the way I look at it is just a fluid player. You know, he's able to flow with the game and make plays when plays aren't supposed to be there. And I think that comes in both ways. You know, obviously he's very good at that, but you know, you go watch guys like Hill and go watch guys like Kelce and Hardman and all these guys. When he is scrambling, that's an art, you know, being able to, you know, make plays, you know, it's not the route and go with the flow and go with Mahomes. You know, if he's scrambling right, being able to get open when it's not a scripted route and be on the same page, that's much harder than I think people give it credit for. And, you know, that team makes it look easy at times. So I think that's a huge deal, and it causes a lot of pressure on the defense. You know, they got to cover guys for, you know, longer than just the 4 or 5 seconds, whatever it is. They got to cover guys for 6, 7 seconds, 8 seconds. And, you know, they're not just guys either. They're guys that are, you know, 4-2, 4-3 receivers. So that's a huge, huge advantage. But, you know, once again, it's just the style of play. And I think you got two different styles of play on both sides. And so it makes for a fun football game.
Christian, before we let you go, I know you're throwing around those weights all the time, so you got to have enough protein. What are you doing with the Scent Protein? Tell us about it.
Yeah, you know, obviously for me, nutrition is something that I value a lot. It's something that I take pride in, and being able to fuel my body with the right ingredients. And so, you know, I've been using Ascent for a couple years now, and I just resonate with all the ingredients. You know, there's no artificial flavors, no artificial sugars. And, you know, I know it works. So I have full confidence that before and after a workout, you know, I can fuel my body with the right nutrition.
Damn it, Christian, does it work? Because you look pretty damn good, and some of us need help. All right, does it work, Christian? I mean, if I take this protein and get in the gym, is it going to work for me, man? Should I go buy it today?
You should. You should. I don't know if you need the pre-workout. I think you're good on the energy levels, but definitely, you know, for a post-show, I think you'd be just fine.
He needs the recovery shake. Exactly. From all that talking, he gets worn out.
You might need to
recoup for his afternoon show.
Hey Molly, back is not hurting from the elliptical.
Oh, my neck.
Let's keep that in mind.
My back. Okay.
That's right.
Christian.
Well, guilty.
We can't wait to see you on the field. Get healthy, and we will talk to you
soon.
Stay safe. Enjoy the game.
All right, bro.